Session 121, January 13, 1965, Early Sessions, Volume 3. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I wanted to add here that evidences for those other fields of actuality can be found even within the body itself, that is, within the physical body. But these evidences are not recognized for what they are. Attempts being made to the contrary to fit these into the framework of conventional knowledge, where indeed they fit but purely. Also, such placement of them is misleading when other deductions are drawn. Such evidences of other actualities could serve as important clues, which, if followed, could then begin to unravel the secrets which are secrets merely because of man's refusal to pursue them. These clues could lead to proper understanding, so that it would be known that the physical body does exist in many fields of actuality, and through the study of various portions of the body, many glimmerings could be received concerning the various fields of actuality themselves. To study the human body from only the physical standpoint, or to consider it as exclusively a physical phenomenon, is to severely limit your perception of it and of reality as a whole. To study psychology exclusively in terms of the brain's effect upon the physical body is likewise hampering and limiting, for the brain is merely that portion of, that very small portion of the mind which is apparent within matter. As such, within your physical field, the brain is subject to the laws of your field. The mind, having its existence within the scope of the physical field, but independent of it, is a much more fruitful subject for study, and not, of course, study through means of physical instruments or of operations performed. In any case, the mind cannot be found by such procedures. The mind will be found to be closely allied with the spacious present. The mind's capabilities, if studied, would lead man into a realization of these other fields of actuality of which I have spoken. The mind deals with intangibles, but it does not deal with unrealities. Again, the validity of an actuality is not to be determined by its appearance within matter alone. The ingredients of matter are first of all intangible ingredients, and the study of the mind and a study of the processes by which the mind creates its dream images could lead to a basic understanding of the manner in which man subconsciously produces the physical images of his own material universe. This study alone would involve an introduction into a knowledge of other fields of actuality. Biology has made many strides, but it must finally be concerned with that intangible which is behind all organisms, and it will be forced to the initiation of an entire new field along the lines of basic organic psychology. It will be forced to recognize the innate ability of all cells for what we may call telepathy, for there will be no other solution in answering many questions. In the most simple of living structures, telepathy is a necessity for communication, particularly before the inside energy is concentrated sufficiently to form any sort of more complicated pattern or nerve structure. Even when such nerve structures and physical complications are evolved, telepathy operates, still a necessity as a communication system within the physical structure, and still handling data which cannot be carried through any physical medium simply because it is untranslatable by its nature into physical materialization. These points are all extremely important. Much will be said yet to clarify the term telepathy itself, since there are many types, which you should be able to see from what I have said. Therein itself is a complicated subject, and yet when I am finished it will be shown that telepathy is an intimate, innate ability within all cells. I suggest your break. Rob, break at 9:27. Jane was well dissociated, unaware of the outside stimuli. Her eyes open slowly. She said she feels the material is more concentrated than it used to be. That is, that the same amount of information is contained with fewer words. Certainly the sessions are not as long as they used to be. Jane also said she does not believe she will smoke any more while dictating, since that too has become distraction. Sitting with her eyes closed, Jane began again, speaking in her quiet voice at 9:36. Seth. Now, on its simplest level, and this is hardly simple, but on the most basic level, what you call telepathy operates in the following manner. Telepathy on this level is the intangible, non-material communication of inner energy or inside energy to the physical materialization of itself within the physical field. This elementary telepathy is not the communication of thought as such, but is the communication of intent, desire, and purpose. It is therefore the communication of inner energy to various still-forming aspects of itself, a blazing, so to speak, of invisible paths or bridges. And at the same time, the laying down of these intangible paths serve as the inner framework over which, or upon which, future physical lines or structures will be laid. No physical communication systems, such as nerves and so forth, are accomplished before these invisible inner energy telepathic structures are first set forth, for these impress within the unformed physical structures the habits and the ways which the physical structures will then follow, and these inside telepathic lines continue to exist within the physical structures after they are completed, and for a while after the physical structures have been broken down. I have, until this point, said very little about the so-called astral body. For one thing, I dislike the term. For another, I did not want to discuss such points until I had first prepared you for not only their existence, but their purpose and logic. Rob notes, many sessions ago, Seth stated he did not like the term astral body, but said nothing else about it. See the 40th session in Volume 1. Seth, you can perhaps now see where this so-called astral body has its origins and purpose. It is actually the intangible but actual framework formed by inner energies, about whose lines or actually reference points the physical framework is constructed. Now, this sort of elementary telepathy has existed as a necessity since the first formation of inner energy into matter. Some of our past sessions, particularly those explaining the initial appearance of matter, will set you clear, and you will see that the explanations I gave you then would have to involve such elementary telepathic communications between cells. As inner energy forms more complicated gestalts through the processes that I have earlier explained, then inner energy continues its communication with the physical matter that it creates about it. When inner energy desires to construct a more complicated gestalt, then it must telepathically communicate its intent and purpose through the matter which it collects about itself, forming a more complicated inner telepathic pattern first, and can then be filled in with physical matter. The manners in which telepathy operates are difficult to explain because of the divergence of definition held by the ego and by the inner self of any given individual. To the human being, it must appear that telepathy is a mental or psychic communication occurring between two or more entirely separate selves. The ego, you see, has one definition for the self and its own idea of the limitations of itself. The ego considers itself the self, and considers anything outside of its self as being either non-self or another such separate identity. And so the individual man is led to believe that telepathy is basically a communication between two or more basically alone, separate and aloof selves. Telepathy does not operate at the level of the ego, although its actions may protrude into the domain of the ego. Telepathy operates within the inner self, with various levels, different levels of the subconscious, where the ideas of separation and limitations of self are not nearly so limiting. The type of telepathy which is most commonly thought of as telepathy is, of course, not the elemental type of which I spoke earlier, but a different variety. This particular, more advanced telepathy could not and did not occur in its most complicated form until the development within your plane of psychically developed personalities. This development involved separations and concentrations of energy into self-conscious identities. This development was an advancement, yet this advancement led also to a separation and objectifying of consciousness into dual segments of subject and object. I suggest your break. I have explained in the past the potentialities and unlimited qualities of the self. You may refer to those discussions if you wish for background here. Rob notes, among others, see the 40th session, April 1, 1964, for material on tissue capsules, and the 41st for material on the spacious present. You can see that the inner self is much more spacious and unlimited than the ego self, and that while divisions occur, they may vary, and the boundaries of the inner self constantly change. Inner telepathic communications exist whenever the inner self reaches out, whenever its sympathies or vitalities are attracted. In a manner we will later discuss, psychically it surrounds information, operating psychically almost in the same manner that a simple amoeba physically will surround food. This may not be a very apt analogy, but the principles are sound behind the analogy. What is complicated to explain, and yet an explanation is sorely needed, for telepathy operates mainly when similarities and attractions are set up, when like attracts like, and not, as it would seem, when, as it appears, one alien or separate identity is connected with another. What I am trying to get across here is that, because of the superficial studies done so far, it seems that telepathy operates with separateness because of the limitations set up by the ego on the definition of self. It is the similarity or sympathy of those in telepathic communication that makes telepathy possible. The limited idea of the self held by the ego clouds and distorts the main issue, for the ego is not conscious of the underlying bonds of sympathy that serve to merge momentarily the identities involved. This, dear friends, is quite enough for one session. I have given you some meat. Next time I will add the sauce. My best and fondest regard to you both. Rob. Good night, Seth.